love the Word of God. I'm glad that Jeremiah talked about the Word of God, that he loved it more than he did his food for his body. It ought to be better than breakfast. It ought to be better than lunch. It ought to be better than anything you eat in this life. Praise God, you ought to eat the Word. And what a blessing it is. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 15 tonight. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture, and I'm going to get right into the message on where is my wandering boy tonight. I want you to really pray that God will take the message and use it, because it shows forth the grace and the love of God. It shows forth the patience of God. I'm glad God was patient with me. I'm glad that God was long-suffering with me. And when you think about this story here about the prodigal son, it's a real blessing. I want you to stand with me, please, for the reverence of the Word of God. And we'll read beginning with verse 1 of chapter 15. And I'll read down through verse 4, then read verse 8, and begin reading with verse 20. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That's the best thing that they could have said about Jesus. They said it in sarcasm. They said, "This man is eating with those old sinners." Well, brother, I'm glad he came down here to save sinners. Amen. That's why he came. He came down for sinners. He came down for those that were lost and without God. And they said, "Why, he eats with sinners." Now notice, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Now notice verse 8. "Or either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? And when she had found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now, notice, I'm going to read all this. I was going to chew down 20. Let's read verse 11. "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And when he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I will go to my father, and say unto my father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servants, Bring forth the best robe." Glory to God. I like that right there, children. Brother, God didn't put a patched up robe on me. He put the best thing heaven had. He said, "Get the best robe. Hey, get the best." God's never given you anything but the best. Now, a lot of people give God the leftovers, but God gives you the best. God always gives the best. Did you know that? Brother, that's why I won't give God my best. Hallelujah. I don't give him the second best. I won't give him the best. All the best that we have, we ought to give. Now, notice what the Scripture says. "And kissed him." Now, "and put the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Listen, when Brother Sammy told about that young man that got saved, listen, it ought to make everybody merry. Oh, listen, when a preacher tells about somebody coming home to God, brother, that ought to be the sweetest time you'll ever have in your life. Because it said, "And they began to be merry." Now, I want you to be seated, beloved, all over the house. Bow your head for a word of prayer. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring you the message tonight, Father. I want to thank you for every blessing you blessed us with. I want to thank you for this night and for what we've already experienced, Lord. I thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit. Oh, God, you've been so real. And now, Lord, as we come to portray the message of the prodigal son, Lord, I'm glad you gave me a preacher boy. I'm glad you gave me a young man that loves you and serves you. But, oh, God, somebody's a prodigal in this house tonight. Somebody's wandered away from God and away from home and away from anything that's right. I pray that tonight the blessed Holy Spirit shall speak to every heart and speak to every soul. And may this be a night of rejoicing in the Lord. Father, save that soul tonight that's here with a burden of sin and condemnation. May that soul come to Jesus. And Father, for that one that's backslidden out of fellowship with God, may he arise as the prodigal did. And may he come home, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Because we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Beloved, I want to speak to you tonight on where is my wandering boy tonight. Of all the stories in the Bible, I think this is the most fascinating. Brother, it thrills my soul just to get to read about the prodigal and the father. I know a lot of preachers magnify that prodigal. Now, I want to tell you who the real hero is. It was that old father that stood out there in the sunshine and the rain. It was that father, mister, that waited for that boy to come home. And I'm glad he didn't beat him over the head. I'm glad he didn't say, I don't love you. But the Bible said the father, I like this, saw him afar off and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But by way of introduction tonight, let me say that Luke 15 is the great lost chapter in the Bible. Luke 15 tells you about what it means to be lost. And Jesus told him about three different things that was lost. First of all, he talked about the lost sheep. And he said a shepherd came home one night and counted 96, 97, 98, 99. And he said, oh, Maze, the black sheep has gone astray. And he left the 99 and went out and found me. Oh, praise God. And reached down and picked me up out of the horrible pit. Put me on his shoulders and said, I'm going home. I want to tell you something. I'm glad that the Father had looked down with compassion. And my friend, the old shepherd, I could say a lot about sheep. I'm glad I'm not a goat. Praise God. Did you know what's wrong with many of our churches? We got so many goats on the inside, and goats in the choir, and goats on the deacon board. And brother, that's the reason we're having so much trouble. But I'm glad I'm the sheep of his pasture. And he knows me, and I know him. Woo! Praise God. And he's given me eternal life. And I shall never perish. And I'll never be plucked out of his hand. Let me say a couple of things about that sheep. First of all, a sheep is the most, I guess you'd call it the dumbest animal in the world. A little sheep doesn't know how to protect himself. A little sheep doesn't know the direction. And if you take a sheep one block down the road, he'll never find his way home. You can take an old black cat down here to Canton, Georgia, and throw him out of the window tonight, and he'll beat you back home. Did you know that? That's something about a cat. An old cat knows direction, but a little sheep doesn't know it. That's why you got to follow the shepherd. Praise God. I'm glad Jesus is the good shepherd tonight. And what a blessing. I'll be in Danville, Virginia, the Lord willing, in 3 weeks. But about 12 years ago, on Sunday afternoon at 4:15, a young man got up and started down to that altar. The preacher whispered to me and said, Brother Mays, he's on TV. Said he's a hillbilly. And that old boy came down that aisle, all burdened down. He got saved before he ever got to that altar. I mean, bless God, he got saved by thunder, Mass. And when he got saved, he went home and got his four brothers as on TV. Got them saved. And they got a band called the Gospel Band. And they got a song that I like. Listen, here's what they sing. My Jesus has broad shoulders. His back is stronger than mine. And he left the 99 and he came to that little sheep. And praise God, he placed it on his shoulders. And he brought it home. What a blessing it is tonight. The sheep, my friend, I'm glad. The Bible says that he left the 99 and went after the one that was lost. Aren't you glad he came looking for you? And praise God, he found you. And what a blessing that is. Secondly, the Lord talks about a lost coin. Now this coin was on her belt. And when she lost it, my friend, it represented her uncleanness. And she said, my husband will be back. I've got to find the piece that was lost. Now she didn't sit down, twiddle her hands. Bless God, she got her candle. And she started sweeping. You know what's the matter with most of us tonight? We're too lazy to get out here and do God's will. And to witness and to do something for Jesus. That's the reason, my friend. God is not blessing a lot of churches. They've been sitting on the stool of do-nothing and singing, I shall not be moved. But brother, this woman lit a candle and she sought it till she found it. And then she rejoiced. I tell you, my friend, it makes me rejoice. Now she lost this coin, and the coin was lost in the fault of another. I want you to know there are a lot of people to be saved. If certain people would get saved, I don't want to stand in the way of anybody tonight. I don't want anybody to say, Mae Saxon is the reason that I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to cause anybody to go to hell tonight. I want to take everybody I can to heaven. But the scripture said she found it. And she said, let's rejoice and be glad. Praise God, it's shouting time. I want to tell you, when an old sinner comes home to God, it's shouting time, mister, when somebody repents of their sin. But then the scripture talks about not only a lost sheep and a lost coin, but the scripture said there's a lost son. And when that you get down to son, it's something to lose a coin, you can get another one. It's something tonight, my friend, just to lose maybe a sheep. But when you lose a son, and that son went out in the far country, and the scripture says that he went into the far country and spent his substance with righteous living. You know what that means? He said, the sky's the limit. I don't need God. I don't need mama. I don't need daddy. I don't need anybody. But I want to tell you something. I'm glad I need the Lord every hour, every day. Oh, I need God. Every time I pick up my foot, I need the Lord. Every time, brother, I preach, I got to have God on me. And it's blessed to have the Spirit of the Lord. But let's come and make this a personal thing tonight. If this is your boy, I mean, if this story had been you, and your boy had gone down to the bus station, and you'd have stood there and waved at him as he went back, or went in the far country, and that night you'd have gone home with a broken heart. And so I believe somewhere back in Israel many years ago, they got everything ready, and a little mother said to her husband, Mays, it's a time for Nolan to come of age today, and I've seen him for the last few weeks. He's become rebellious, and Nolan has got to that place where he doesn't appreciate God in the home. And so that morning, her little mother cooks breakfast. That dad stands around with the old book of God, the old scroll, and I hear him. She says, honey, I believe I see him coming down the steps. And as that old dad looked around, here comes his boy, dressed in finery, with a map in one hand and a suitcase. And he said, son, I know what you want, but let me give you a verse of scripture. I want to tell you what the wisest man that ever lived said, son. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes 12. Remember thy son, that map will rest. That map's not going. Would you listen? Remember thy Creator in the days. Well, if you don't want me to read the Word of God, would you like me to pray for you? I know, son, we've given you the best we have. And we've tried to pray with you. And we've tried to be good to you. And I see that old dad. He gets down on his knees. And he said, God, I don't understand, Nolan. Oh, God, he don't want to be prayed for. He don't want to read the Word. He don't want to have anything to do with God or his people. Lord, I pray you'll take care of him now. I see that old daddy get up and say, I know what you want, Nolan. You want that pocketbook right there? Son, I want to tell you something about that. Down the road, it'll give out. Down the road, you're going to find out that's not what you're looking for, son. You remember that Daddy loves you. You remember there'll be a light burning in the window. If you ever get tired and hungry and want to come back, thank God you can come back. And I see the old dad say, Dad, I'll walk with Nolan out to the gate. And I see you, Nolan, pick up that suitcase. I say, don't be in too big a hurry, bud. I love you. I know the devil's making a plea for you. And you're going to go down that long road. And let me tell you something, it's hard. The Bible said the way of the transgressor's hard, Nolan. And you got your nice suit and your hair's nice. And you got your suitcase and you got your daddy's money. But I want to tell you, boy, out yonder it's a mighty hard life to live. And I want you to know I'm going to be praying over that little old barn every day. Where I prayed for you, I'm going to be calling your name in holy prayer. And son, here's the gate. And it'll always be open. You don't even have to knock. If you ever come home at night, just come on in, go to bed. The cover will be turned down. And the welcome of heaven will be put out, and the mat will be here. All you got to do is come back. And he taps him on the shoulder. And he stands there and watches him go down the road. And he waves and says, bye, Nolan! But Nolan doesn't turn around. He's full of pride and sin and the love of the far country. And that old dad stands there and waves till he sees that speck go out of sight. And then he says, Dot, I saw Nolan leave. And honey, we're going to have to do some praying. We're going to have to pray for Nolan. He don't want God. He doesn't want the church. He doesn't want to be saved. He doesn't want the things of God. You may have a boy like that. You invite him to come to Sunday school. He's not interested. You may have a girl, and you may talk to her about God and about her soul, and she's not interested. But I want to show you some things I believe happened to Nolan along the path that I saw him go down. First of all, the first night, I see him as he goes up to an inn, and he knocks, and the man said, come in, you don't have to knock at this inn. And he takes his suitcase in, and he walks in, and he said, how do you do, sir? And the man said, how do you do? He said, what's your name? Would you sign right here? I got a room for you. And he said, my name's the prodigal. He said, you mean your name's the prodigal, son? That's my name, mister. And that man said, I'll tell you what you do, son. You might as well get started off right. Take your little bag up there in that room. And then come down here. And there's some women like you've never seen before. And there's some beer and wine. And there you are. You can have a big time. I know you got some money, haven't you? And Nolan shakes his head. Yes, sir. And he goes up and puts his bag that first night. And he comes and goes down in that, opens up that old dance hall room. And he said, I've never seen any women that look like this. My mother never did look like this. My neighbors never looked like this. He smells that liquor and that beer. And he said, that's not for me. And he comes back up to his room, sits down on the edge of the bed. I see him as he pulls off his slipper. And when he pulls off his slipper, the Holy Ghost says, son, why don't you just go on back home tonight? Praise God, I want to tell you something. I believe the Holy Ghost, brother, work on you all the way down the way. And I see him as he pulls off his other slipper. And the old devil on the other shoulder said, no, Nolan, you haven't had a big time yet. Why, you've been tied to your mother's apron string. Your daddy made you cut your hair. Your daddy made you go to Sunday school. Your daddy made you memorize the Bible. And now you've got liberty. You can do as you please, Nolan. You're going to have a big time. And we see him after that night. It's easy the next night. And it's easy on down the road. And we find three things that happened to that prodigal. Number one, he became penniless. After a while, the devil stripped him of everything that he had. Let me say this to you tonight, friend. The devil will strip you of everything you have. The devil will rob you. Sin will take everything that you have. You know what I do with every car? You know what I do with every watch? I don't know why Doc gave me that thing. And it's a cheap watch. It looks expensive. That's my wife gave me this thing. And I can't see the back of them things. It's just a hypocrite's watch. I just make you think I'm looking at it. Say amen right there. Praise God. I mean, it just makes you think I'm looking at it. But listen, every watch, listen, every Bible I get, I want to tell you something. Every suit of clothes I get, every shirt I get, every pair of socks I get, every toothbrush I get, every oldest and everything I have, I bow down and say, thank you, Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And I get so tired of hearing preachers tell what they had to give up. Let me tell you, brother, when I got right, I got everything. I became an heir with God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And brethren, listen to me. I'm an heir with the one that owns it all. And thank God tonight. Listen to me. It's good to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. But you listen how your preachers talk about it. But they gave it. Listen, everything I gave up, my old rags. I gave up my old life. I gave up my old headaches. I gave up that old drunken life. I gave up that old way. But I want to tell you something tonight. Young girl, you can follow the devil if you want to. But he'll strip you of your name and your character and your virtue and everything that's pure and decent. Oh, young man, you can say no to God if you want to. But you remember the devil will rob you of everything. Man came in my meeting the other night over in Virginia. Watch this. Listen to me. Pulled up that sleeve. You see, there's no marks there. Boy, you know why? I'm not any good. I'd be marked as a doper male. But Jesus saved me. Oh, let me tell you something. I'd be an old staggering drunk tonight. But I'm glad Jesus found me. I'm no good, but thank God he's good. And somebody said, hey! That man came in, he pulled up his sleeve. And he said, I've shot so much cocaine and dope in this arm. And said, my hips are all black and my hips are all blue. He said, preacher, I've stolen. I've cheated my own mama. I've robbed the home house where I live. Been able to get dope. He said, preacher, is there any hope for me? I said, you came to the right place. And I'm glad Jesus will save you. And praise God, Jesus saved you. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, the devil will strip you of everything you got. And the Bible said when he'd spent all, he became penniless. He became broke. I stood at the courthouse in DeKalb County in Decatur. I looked at that whole courthouse, and I heard a man come up, and a friend of mine stood there, and a man started auctioning off the man's car, and his refrigerator, and his sofa, and his bed, and I stood there and watched him sell everything he had, and he turned around to me, and he said, I forgot God, man. He said, said, I've lost it all. I've lost everything. I want to tell you, you can serve the devil, but there's a high price. The wages of sin is death, and it's death to everything that touches us. And so this prodigal son, you listen to me, brother, he became penniless. Devil took everything he had. Secondly, he became friendless. All of his friends forsook him when his money ran out. That old beer guzzling, that old gang brother of the world. Let me tell you something. When you get penniless, you'll be friendless because nobody will befriend you. I'd rather have me some good old saints, brother Bob, that's my friends. Woo! Praise God, brother Taylor. I got the best friends in this world. I've got friends that pray for me every day. I've got friends, praise God, that I can count on when I need them. I've got friends. Oh, what a blessing. But I want to tell you about the best friend I ever met. It's about 38 years ago. It's on a Friday night. Boy, it's getting good now. I was in North Carolina State University, room 813, C dormitory, about a quarter to nine. Somebody said, what happened to you? Something got a hold of me. And praise God, he never did let loose. I'm glad. And brother, I got saved. I mean genuinely saved. I got born again. And what a blessing it's been. And since that time, I've met some of the best friends that I've ever met in my life. Let me tell you know where Villarica, Georgia is down here? There's a little boy named Larry Broom. Larry Broom was one of the best friends that Mace Jackson ever had. He was in a wheelchair, never walked. And they'd bring him to the church every time I'd preach at Guy Rainwater's Eastside Baptist Church. They'd bring little old Larry. He had one of them little batteries on the back of his little wheelchair. After I'd get through preaching, he'd come up and he'd say, Brother Mace. And I'd say, hey, Larry! How you doing, buddy? He said, I want you to know I'm your friend. Said, if you ever need somebody to lean on old Larry.
And I want to tell you, I looked at him with his little legs crippled and his hands crippled. And he said, "Brother Mays, remember, I'm your friend." One night when I got through preaching at Eastside, I was standing there and he came up in his wheelchair. And he said, "Brother Mays, I love you better than that Nolan you talk about. And that Lowell that you talk about, and that Dale that you brag about, your boys, I love you better." And I said, "Do you?" He said, "I love you better than your wife." I said, "Do you?" He said, "I love you better than your mama, and I can prove it." I said, "How?" He said, "I haven't missed a broadcast 6 days a week in 8 years. He said, "I've heard you for 8 years. I ain't missed a broadcast." I said, "Can your wife say that?" He said, "Can your boy say that?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Every 2 weeks for 8 years, I've sent you my dollar." Said, "I can't work, but I'd send you a dollar every 2 weeks." And I'd say, "Thank you, Larry." One day he came to me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "you know, I may be leaving out of here one of these days, but," he said, "I'm going to have a foot race with you when I get to heaven." I said, "Well, bud, I want to tell you right now that you're going to lose before you ever think about that race." He said, "No, sir." He said, "I ain't never had no legs, and when I get my new ones, I'll be so excited I'll leave you in the gold dust. Praise God." He said, "Miss Jackson, you won't have a chance." I want to tell you something. Years ago, I had to go off the big gun. I got behind, and I don't get behind on my radio bills. I mean, I pay my radio bills. I pay all my bills. But let me tell you what I had to do. And I know you get behind. But I got behind. I went up to the man. I said, "I'm going off the air, and I'll raise some money, and I'll be back on the big gun." And little Larry Broome lived out in Bill Rickens. Daddy worked at Bremen over at that suit factory. And on Monday morning, Larry said, "Daddy, before you leave, if Mays don't come on at 10 o'clock today, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do." And so about 20 minutes till 10, Mr. Broome said to the second hand or the boss, he said, "I got to go to my boy. If Mays Jackson don't come on that radio in 20 minutes, said he's going to be an awful, awful disappointed little boy." And he said, "I got there about 3 minutes till 10. Ray Beal was your announcer." And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to 1010 on the dial, WGUN in Atlanta." And said, "Brother Mays won't be with us. We're going to play records this morning." Said, "He don't have the money." And said, "By the way, we made $50 up here at the radio station. Some of you out there help us, and we're going to get him back on." And boy, little old Larry Broome reached over and pushed that button. Said, "Daddy, open that door." He went down that ramp, went down to the Tallapoosa Highway, and pulled up by the Tallapoosa Highway. And every time somebody'd come, he'd raise that little crippled hand from that wheelchair and say, "Stop! Stop!" And of course, everybody stopped for a crippled boy. They'd roll down their glass, some from Ohio and Pennsylvania, say, "Can I help you, buddy?" He'd say, "Yeah, I got a friend named Brother Mays, and we need a dollar for him before you go on." And brother, they'd get a dollar out and throw it over there. And when Larry Broome got $25, that little crippled lap of his, he pushed that button, came back up there, brother, listen, and said, "Daddy, take me to the post office. I'm going to send Brother Mays $25. And I want to tell you something, mister." He put in that letter. He said, "Brother Mays, I want you to know that I'm your friend. I begged it. I couldn't work, but I got on the highway and begged it for you." And then one day I was over and he came to a meeting at Eastside. I went to Pennsylvania. While I was in Pennsylvania, he had an attack and he told Miss Broome, he said, Mama, I ain't coming back this time. Call the ambulance. I'm going home this time." And boy, when they started pulling him out of that little house in Villarica, Georgia, that little crippled boy looked back and said, "Mama, Brother Mays' letter's behind the clock." And said, "I put an extra dollar in it this time. Said, after the funeral, send it to him. I want him to have it, Mama." And boy, I was in Pennsylvania when my wife called me and said, "Larry died." And she said, "Miss Broome said, you don't have to come. Said, I know it's too far away, but just rejoice. Larry is not crippled anymore, and he's gone to heaven." "Open that letter and sign P.S. I'm mailing you this letter. Now I'll put a little offering in there with Larry. Keep on preaching, Brother Mays. We'll see your friend after a while." I went and got off that airplane, that United airplane, when it hit the ground on that Monday morning, when after I got back from Pennsylvania and I went down to Villarica, Georgia, I went over there to a little grave and got down with my knees. Now I said, "Jesus, since I met you, I've met the best friends I've ever had." Oh, let me tell you something. He became pitiless. He became friendless. And then he became shameless. He didn't care. He lost his self-respect. And brother, he went to the pigs, and he went to the hog pen, and he got his nice clothes dirty, and he got himself ragged, and hungry, and tired, and weary, because of the fire country. And one day, boy, he got to thinking, I like this, and he came to himself, and he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and I'll say, I've sinned against heaven and against thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Let me be a boot black. I'll shine the shoes. Let me just wash the dishes. I'll wash the dishes. And that mother said, no. No, Mays. Said, what have you been doing, Mays? And I said, honey, did you know I got the fattest calf out there you've ever seen? You can't even see her eyes, I'm telling you. Boy, we're going to have stew beef and steak one of these days. I said, God told me that Nolan's coming home to God. And God said, you know, Mays, I've been putting up some of them pies that he likes for the feast. And said, Mays, there's a light in the window that's been burning ever since. And said, Mays, I leave the door cracked. And one morning that old daddy gets up and he says, Dot, I tell you, I feel strange. I feel like something is about to happen around here today. I feel like that Nolan is going to come home soon. And she said, Maisie, it's your imagination. I said, it may be. But I've been out here at the barn. And I've been out there talking to God. And I see that old dad, and he puts his hand down. He says, I'm looking down the road. I believe I see him coming. I believe somewhere down that road he's coming. And he said, yeah, that's him. I remember when he used to sing that when we was going to the tent meeting. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. And the Bible said the father saw him afar off and said, Nolan, it's your dad. I'm glad to see you, boy. And he ran and he pulled his neck and he kissed him. And he said, you're forgiven. Oh, you're forgiven. God bless you. I'm glad you came home. You're ragged and you're barefooted. Nolan, you don't look like you did when you left, but I'm glad you've come home.